This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Hello. Hi. My name is Ben, and here is Poppy.
Hey.
And it is the 4th of July to all our American listeners. Hurrah.
I didn't even make that connection. Yes,
yeah,
please.
It sneaks up on you, as Gareth would say. I can't believe it's July.
The 4th.
So it's a really big day, so brace yourself, internet goers, because you are about to be absolutely lambasted with all things Stars and Stripes, America, I think even some sort of Democrats even like chill out on hating Donald Trump today just because they love America so much. I think that's how it works. I'm not entirely sure. I could be wrong here. Gordon is unfortunately really under the weather, so he'll be up joining us today. But Gareth and Sia, as far as I know, will be joining us over the Skype.
Yay.
Although I guess it wouldn't kill anyone to have a running order in the show, would it? That's just me being bitter. Yeah. I mean, how much to ask?
I feel like last night's match may have interfered with today's running order.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing with Sia and Gareth being in England.
Yes.
And remember, because Sia said he's going to watch a game.
Mm-hmm,
so he's going to be at a pub. Can you imagine? Like, because obviously, we'll get to it in the sport, but obviously England beating Colombia in the must-win round of 16 match in Moscow last night. And if Sia and Gareth were at a pub, well, they might still be there.
I don't blame them.
Because England, firstly, they don't really get to the stage where their teams can really be excited.
Yeah.
But even better, they won a penalty shootout last night.
Jeepers. Apparently they broke a penalty shootout curse.
Massively.
Okay.
So I think it's in relatively recent memory, I think it's as much as 4 times.
Yeah.
They've been knocked out of big tournaments, so either the World Cup or the European Championships, 4 times by the dreaded penalty.
Okay.
So what happens normally is when they go to penalty shootouts, all of the English players start shaking like shitting dogs because one of them is about to become a villain.
Oh.
I think Gareth Southgate himself, who is the manager/coach, I never know the difference between those two, of the English team, he fluffed it once at the Euros. And obviously those things do scar you. But as the English football fans will tell you, it's new belief. We're all believing that it's going to come home, blah, 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 blah. I've seen some really fantastic memes of obviously everything in football is really kind of laughable. But there's this meme going around of someone having a tattoo with the World Cup and the Russian emblem for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And the tattoo just says it's coming home. So obviously, you know, I don't think anyone's got the tattoo just yet, because that would be obviously a massive fail when ultimately they have another agonizing loss at some stage. But yeah, England are through the next round, and so are Sweden. I woke up this morning to a message on Instagram.
From who? A DM?
Yeah, I get them from time to time.
Uh-huh.
I just read this to you, because so I've got like a morning routine with it being so cold, and Poppy, we can talk about yours, because we spoke roughly yesterday about how when you wake up at this time and it's so cold. So my morning routine basically entails I wake up, I remove the cats and girlfriend off me, because I'm precariously placed on the far left side where everyone draws heat from me. And then I turn the heater on. I sit in front of that to kind of like just gather my thoughts. Get past the trauma of the alarm going off so early.
Yeah.
And I generally go onto Instagram just to see some light and fluffy entertainment. You know, what's happening in the window to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a DM from here. Ashley.
Ashley who? We need a last name.
Ashley Olivier Zero something. I'm not going to go into it. Hey, Ben, my boyfriend and I listen to the Gareth Cliff Show every morning. And because of you and your advice on your and Poppy's show this morning, we both changed our Super Brew picks from Switzerland. Both changed our Super Brew picks for Switzerland to win today. Eek. Well, you were wrong. Thanks for nothing. Peace and love.
I'm so sorry.
Actually, I'm only I gotta listen back to the podcast. I'm not entirely sure I was too adamant about the fact that Switzerland were going to be, well, probably, yeah. I mean, I would have backed them to win. Sweden, I think, were relatively lucky in their group, and Switzerland, well, yeah, you know, also, like, that was the game which could have gone very much either way, right? I've been quite adamant about the other ones. Yeah, anyway. So that's, everyone's got a bit of World Cup.
I feel like I'm getting it all wrong. I feel like I must just wait till the final and call that.
Yeah, well, So we'll get into the sport and all the football into the sports feature. I would like to tell you what else is going on, but of course it would appear that Sia has either been abducted by Lagerlouts in England or he's made new friends. And we're kind of going blind, but you know, at least it's streaming, right? Please, could the streaming be working? Because we had some issues with that this week.
I'm sure it's okay.
I'm just going to check because you know, the messages are very up to date in the show. We have such an engaged audience, which I really appreciate. And while this thing hangs, okay, moment of truth. Do we have any messages? Nope, it's fine. Everything's okay.
Yay.
People can hear us.
Good morning. Hi.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, Papi, we're here.
Yes. Jeez, don't sound so depressed.
I'm gathering my thoughts. Okay, I'm cool. Gathering my thoughts. So yesterday we spoke about Gareth's interview with the cyborg guy, Neil Harmison.
Yes.
I tried to listen to the interview yesterday, and it was just, it wasn't what I expected. I wouldn't say I expected the guy to be strange or I wasn't expecting him to be like a freak show or whatever, because I actually saw him when he was here for the interview.
Okay.
And the guy didn't seem like he was looking for attention or anything like that. He was just completely different. I listened to the interview and it was just, I found it difficult to kind of make it all the way through because it was just, it was almost too normal.
It was very normal.
It was like there was a lot of science involved. This guy really kind of knew his stuff. You can see he wasn't looking for massive attention, as I just said. And Gareth, of course, being the science buff and nerd that he really is, he asked a whole bunch of interesting questions. And the takeout for me was, again, like most things, we get a variety of people in this place. And his way of expressing himself is through science, research, technology, these kind of things.
Sure.
This really twists his knob, so to speak, in the greater scheme of things. And he's doing no one any harm. He's living his best life. He's doing things that he finds stimulating.
Yeah.
He's interacting with people that he finds fascinating. So good for this guy. I mean, I thought in the end, even though I battled with some of the technical stuff, I thought, like, this is a really cool interview. This is a guy who knows what he's doing in life. I mean, how many of us can, on a day-to-day basis, with great confidence, say, yeah, I'm living with purpose. I'm in the right direction.
This is true. I enjoyed the fact that he said that he sleeps with this antenna thing that was attached to his head.
Yeah, so that was one of the big questions that people have asked me. Does he take it out?
No,
it is.
He even sleeps on his back, I heard him say to Gareth.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, do cyborgs have girlfriends? Do they?
They might do.
Okay.
Well, they wouldn't even need Tinder because they can attract each other through the waves.
Which I think might be better these days.
That'd be a really great way because you would already have your matches. The frequencies would be the same.
Wow.
Imagine that.
That's cool. See, now I'm into it.
See, so this guy, Neil, and as you said in the beginning, it was just tiresome, people laughing at him and making fun of him. But what if he is finding ways to evolve the human species? And what if we end up just as one big bunch of frequencies?
Anyway. That's a bit too deep.
If you haven't heard the interview, cliffcentral.com, go back onto yesterday's podcast and you'll see it on Gareth's Guests, if it's not on the homepage already. And you can listen to all that the interview was about. So he lives in New York. There's a lot going on with this guy. And I thought it was interesting.
I thought it was
interesting once I got through the technical stuff and it sort of like sunk in.
And like you said, Gareth asked some really important and sort of layman-ish questions that make you understand the subject matter and him a lot more.
That's what I like about interviews like that. You listen to it, and this is why I like podcasting in general. You listen to it, and then you could be like doing the dishes or getting dressed or whatever, and you start thinking about certain things differently.
Yeah.
And that is that's a big deal. Of course, the petrol price went up as of last night or midnight last night.
Yep, last night at midnight.
Yeah. So if you want to know what your petrol price really breaks down to, and maybe this is a depressing start to the day, but here we go. So the basic price of the actual substance, the product you're buying, is about R7.50.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it comes in at from overseas refineries, basically. Then this is where the government first produces its greasy, horrible, grabby paws. The fuel levy, so that's R3.37. That's a general tax on fuel, increased annually every April. Okay, so general tax. Then we have the wholesale margin. Now, this again is state-regulated and adjusted from time to time according to formula based on the refinery's financial efficiency. So that's where another 34 cents gets to your petrol price. Of course, here in the general Gauteng area, where it is most expensive in the country, I'll get to that in a second, it topped the 16 Rand mark. So we started off with 7 Rand 50 as our base price. Now, here are the add-ons. The demand side management levy, the DS ML, if you're in the petrol industry. Mm-hmm. That's introduced in 2006 to curtail the use of ULP 95 in the inland market. Okay, so that sounds like a bit of bullshit. But I guess quality control? We want quality? Fair enough, let's go for it. Customs and excise, 4 cents. This amount is divided among the Southern African Customs Union. It has remained unchanged for about 8 years now. Okay, fair enough, you can have that. The petroleum product levy. Now, this is a 0.3 of a cent. That's weird. We need 0.3 of a cent. Anyway, this is collected by the manufacturers and importers of petroleum products from the regulated petroleum products prices to be sold in SA, including to prices. Okay, this sounds negligible. As is the fuel pump rounding of 0.2 cents. The storage handling distribution, that'll take up 34.5 cents of the price. This includes the cost of secondary storage after the fuel has been downloaded at SA ports. Then we've got zone differential. So in Gauteng, like I said, you will pay more for petrol because it needs to be taken from the ports. That makes sense. It's a transport cost. So 51.7 cents will be divided into that. Then we've got the retail margin. Now, this, of course, is regulated by the state and adjusted from time to time according to the formula based on operational costs of petrol stations. Okay. So that's another 1.87 rand. Then we've got the road accident fund.
Oh.
The road accident fund is slapping on just 1.93 rand to your petrol per liter of petrol. So this is for compensation of third party accident victims.
Are those the same people that try to play us with e-tolls?
That's a different, separate piss take altogether, Poppy. Okay. I think. So the road accident fund, you think, oh, this is a noble cause. It's for compensating third party accident victims. So Poppy, you spoke about your time as a paramedic over the weekend, and you unfortunately got to witness the side of a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
Someone got knocked over. These are road accidents.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So this is also increased every April. But yeah, 1.90 rand. The problem is though, the road accident fund is completely broke. So all this money, so every time you fill up, 1.93 rand per litre, so times that by 40 litres, whatever it is going to this road accident fund. The same road accident fund that are involved with dodgy furniture tenders, where they are basically paying 1,666 rand per month, just for a chair. Just for a chair, just to rent it per month.
Oh, those guys. I saw the story.
Yeah, so this is the story we were touching yesterday. And worst of all, okay, so basically they're renting 300 chairs for about R500,000 a month.
Where do these chairs sit? Who sits on the chairs?
I'm no furniture expert, but if you had a furniture bill of 500,000 rand a month, your office would be looking like P. Diddy's pads on a changeable monthly basis. But yeah, and these decades, they tried to then push an even more audacious 5-year, 60 million rand furniture rental contract through the same company in March, which was thankfully stopped.
Oh, no. So 1 rand. Child is getting a kickback there.
I hate these cliches of corruption so much. It's just, it's state. Let's just take money. When are we ever going to rise above this kind of crap? I know it's the tip of the iceberg, and I don't want to start the show on such a boring, horrible, depressing nature, but it just drives me to depression how dreadful government is, the state mindset towards funds, and how it just takes from everyday South Africans. We're all affected by the petrol price. So if 1.93 rand could be taken off, just taken away, because they're not saving anybody. If you want to claim money from the Red Accident Fund, I wish you good luck. I would think you'd have more chance of making money as a part-time ventriloquist on the side of the road than getting any money from these dickbags. But now, 1.93 rand of your petrol that you're buying today will go to furniture. I don't know how we don't get angry to the point of just being driven to violence or just to drink. And to think, then we've got the ANC and EFF. They want more state control in this country. Time and time again. And I will not get into Eskom. I don't want to depress you that much because I'm already going through these headlines. And
I'm going to Google these chairs. I need answers.
These chairs better produce massages and coffee. And at the same time, who needs massages and coffee? What are these people doing that they need to be so pampered? So if you want to know why your petrol price is, if you've missed the whole thing, because sometimes we do, we get busy. We miss the headlines, we miss stories, and then suddenly we go fill up a petrol and go, shit, why is it so expensive? It's because the government doesn't love us, and their life is stealing from us. And they're okay with it because they basically will fleece things like the road accident fund and put a lot of interest into that. Yeah, so on happier things.
Yes, please.
How is the update of those missing boys in the Thai cave?
Oh, you really want to know? Well, remember yesterday I said to you that they were in a cave that had water, which means that it's going to take, I think, some divers. Some U.S. Marines have been roped in now to help with the rescue operation. Apparently, it could take months for these poor kids and their coach to be rescued. 4 months is what they say. Wow. So people are wanting to know whether they can actually hang out there. Well, not hang out there, but, you know, kind of wait for to be rescued for 4 months. It's a bit of a dangerous operation for them to be rescued, and they've got some British divers on board. But, yeah, that's as far as I know. What's happening now is that they're trying to obviously figure out a way to get the boys out safely without them having to dive with the boys, because that's also quite dangerous.
It's hugely traumatic, yeah.
And if you don't dive as a person, how do you get rescued? If you've never been trained, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, is that these guys obviously are going in there. They're trained. They're experienced. They know what to expect. When you're a little bit traumatized, you haven't eaten in a few days. Mm. So it makes it even more difficult. Wow.
So they've been given, you know, when you do like endurance sports, like running and like cycling and stuff, you know, there's little tubes of like food. Mm-hmm. That's what they've been given to eat, obviously, because it's the only thing that can get, you know, to them without, you know, being wet and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite a tricky and scary situation.
Seems like it. Just all the messages here, just playing LM. He says, Poppy turns me on every time she speaks. I love her so much. Can she unblock me on Twitter, please? I don't know why she blocked me.
You probably said some dumb stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Poppy's not unreasonable. She seems very fair. She's very consistent.
Just remind me what your tweet said and I'll decide.
Yeah, just playing LM. Come here and just start demanding things. What is this? Life comes with consequences.
You know?
Bloody hell. Yeah, okay, so still no word from Sia. I genuinely think he's still in the pub somewhere, which would be very entertaining to hear the end story.
Probably played all of beer pong and just like lived his best life last night.
Yeah. So yesterday I spoke about this guy, Nathan Fielder.
Yes.
So I'm obsessed with this guy's work. I really am. It's just so smart. And yesterday we spoke about this box movement. And if you did go and watch it after our recommendations yesterday, then I won't bore you with the same story. I will move on to a slightly different story. And it got me thinking. Now, we all have, in our private capacity, on our phones, our computers, hard drives, whatever, there's some sensitive stuff. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to have to be naturally sexual or like heavy nudity, whatever, but we've all got sensitive things we'd rather not see. But let's cut to the chase. A lot of it could be dick pics, pictures of our girlfriends, boyfriends, exes, whatever it is.
Shook.
Or some people, apparently, Poppy, have pornography on their computers.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was as shocked as you were when I heard that. So this guy's idea is that when you take your computers to get fixed or formatted or whatever, there's a lot of hesitation from people. It is one of the biggest grudge things to do, because if you've got sensitive stuff you don't want to lose, but you have no way of backing it up yourself or whatever it is, you have to go through some stranger, essentially. So this guy's got an idea, and it's absolute genius. I'll play you a bit of this before we get into the news.
If you're handing over your computer to a stranger, there's nothing you care more about than your privacy. So for computer repair shops like Los Angeles-based CyberGuy, earning customers' trust is a huge struggle.
We are saying them, we're not going to look at the files and folders or private files, but they don't trust.
The reason is that most of us have things on our computer that we don't want seen. As someone with a recurring medical issue, I keep photos on my laptop that are meant only for my doctor's eyes. And when my computer breaks down, I can never be certain that a repair technician won't be tempted to snoop. But fortunately for CyberGuy owner Herman Akbiek, I had a solution. Your biggest problem is, no matter how much you tell your customers you're not going to look at their nude or sexy pics, they'll always be skeptical. Because you're a sexual being, right?
Okay, so whatever desire I have, it's not going to be affecting my business.
What do you mean?
Okay, if you don't eat food, you're hungry always. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat food, you're going to be full. You don't feel anymore your hunger.
Right.
So if you don't pleasure yourself at home, maybe you're going to feel it at the office or while walking on the street. You can feel those desires anyway.
So you're saying you pleasure yourself so much at home that it doesn't affect you at work?
Correct.
Despite Herman's claim that he gets everything out of his system before arriving at work each morning, his customers will never completely trust him because he's a sexual being. But if Herman recruited repair technicians from the 1% of Americans who identify as asexual, meaning they have no sexual desires whatsoever, customers could finally feel confident about getting their computers repaired without the staff being tempted to look at their private photos. The plan? Put customers at ease by offering the world's first asexual computer repair.
I see. When they see any image, nude image, so they're not going to be desired or affecting.
In theory, yes.
In theory, I see.
Neither Herman nor I knew much about asexuality, but he was willing to give it a shot. So I went to the internet's most popular asexuality forum and posted a job notification to see if anyone would fit the criteria that Herman would need. And later that week, I set up interviews with everyone who responded.
You know, just the lack of feeling, asexual attraction, and need for...
Like, what kind of a genius mind have you got? Genius comedy mind in order to think that up. So only using asexual people to run through your computer just to fix it.
Wowee.
This guy is just, he's fantastic. There was also, there's a multitude of options that you can go through. But he worked out that...
Is this still your friend, Nathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan. So, Nathan's skill set is a far-reaching, my man.
He's got this fearless way about him, but yeah, the skill set is quite something. But asexual computer repairs, never in your life would you ever hear about that. So this other one I want to play for you before we get into the five things you need to know with Hoppy is frozen yogurt. So he had another idea. Every one of the episodes starts off with just some crazy idea.
Yeah. Frozen yogurt is one of the most popular treats in America, enjoyed by everyone, like Asian women, or just a regular guy in the neighborhood.
Well, I'm just a regular guy in the neighborhood here.
But that popularity doesn't mean much if your yogurt shop is empty. Nick Batista is the manager of Yogurt Haven in Eagle Rock, California, and lately he's been in desperate need of customers.
It would be a plus if we got more traffic going.
So I paid him a visit with some advice on how to help his business.
Firstly, did you see someone?
So what do you think his help and advice would be in this situation to help a kind of plateauing, struggling frozen yogurt establishment?
I don't know. Get other products in there other than the frozen yogurt.
Okay, that's kind of close. Anyone you want to elaborate on the kind of products?
Maybe take the yogurt out of the frozen yogurt. I don't know. So it's just like frozen things. I don't know.
Maybe not as helpful as Nathan, but I do appreciate your enthusiasm.
Cool.
My mission was to fill Yogurt Haven with customers. My plan? A crazy new flavor that will get people talking. That flavor is poo.
Wow.
Is that serious?
Yeah. Wow. The media responds to controversy. We know that. I feel like a poo yogurt flavor might be a news story. If people read the paper, could bring like hundreds of thousands of people in here maybe, or?
Just to try that flavor?
Yes.
Of poo?
Yes.
I really needed to sell my idea to Nick, so the first step was to actually create the new flavor.
So we'll get into how that goes in the second hour. He's suggesting that if they can get a poo frozen yogurt flavor, then this place is going to go and it's just going to work.
I've cancelled him. We were winning with him until that. I mean, come now.
Well, you haven't seen the results yet, Poppy. You haven't seen if this first frozen yogurt company is going to thrive, boom, or
so
whatever.
So my question about this guy is, what's his success rate? Can we track these stories?
Sure.
And is it like Catfish on MTV, where, because a lot of the time they pretend like, you know, they found a conclusion to the dilemma. I'm starting to think that this is the situation. If this guy succeeded with this, best believe that they fixed something here.
Well, just along with, if you're doing some research in this guy, just Google dumb Starbucks.
Okay.
Read the story about dumb Starbucks. And this guy definitely has some success. And he definitely has some far-reaching influence on the people he works with and does things for. But ultimately, yes, he is purely in it for the comedy. But he has such courage and conviction that sometimes these things do result into something.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Quite a lot of stories to get through. I wish I could tell you more, but I don't have a running order. So we're just going to pick things up as we go along. If you want to be in touch with the show today, I think Spongila gets here in about half an hour if you want to get into the Skype. So Cliff Central, find us on the Skype if you want to chat to us, much like Hi Rob does on a Friday. Seems like he's making it a weekly thing. Or you can touch base with us on the WhatsApp or the Telegram. All you need to do is use the number 079-748-2090. And I'm guessing for overseas people, if you add the +7 to the 79, then you can message us from anywhere in the world. So I know if you're listening live from America, it's probably very late. But yeah, otherwise, just get in touch all times. You can ask Poppy whatever you like. If as long as you keep it clean, I shall be moderating that.
And, thank you. I was like, are you sure?
Yeah. Don't worry. I'll do the message screening. Anyway, it's time to get into the five things you need to know today. And seeing as we've already covered the petrol price, I think we've got most of the sort of depressing stories out of the way. And we've also covered the story of the boys stuck in that Thai cave.
So indeed.
It is something that we will keep tabs on as we go along. Poppy, what else is happening?
So a lot of World Cup action happening, but of course a lot of stories around the World Cup. And this kind of piqued my interest and just had me wowing. But you must know John Michael Obi.
Yes.
He's one of the Nigerian players. He had his father kidnapped for a second time.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Which is also worrying. Second time in 7 years. His father and the driver abducted on the 26th of June and were released on Monday. But how's this for crazy? Apparently, he was told about his father's capture a couple of hours before the match between Nigeria and Argentina.
Which was that was so crucial for them because they essentially needed to draw that or win it to go through. And they ended up losing it.
Yeah.
And he was sitting, he was essentially on the team bus that day and he received the call. So he didn't say anything to his teammates.
Yes.
He kept it quiet. He kept it to himself. Didn't want to disrupt the team. But this is dreadful. I mean, there's just, Nigeria is a strange place. I haven't been there. I wouldn't say I want to go there.
I've also never been there. Definitely a bit shook about it now.
But the stories of kidnapping are so commonplace. Like if you go there on business, you have to have a minder. You've got to have security.
Mm.
And it's so casual how people can just be kidnapped at any given stage.
And also prominent people as well. I remember those schoolgirls also. Remember
well,
they were
that,
also in Nigeria. So I'm so happy that he's been released. There's a silver lining to that cloud. How many working hours would you say South Africans work per week? I don't know the maths of this, but in South Korea they've lowered the maximum working hours from 68. Doesn't sound right, to 52 hours. Apparently, the legislation kicked in on Sunday. So let's say you work 8 hours a day on average, times five. Eight times five is 40 hours a week is the average, right, in South Africa. In South Korea, they were working 68 hours. I'm not laughing. It's just a lot of hours to pack into a week, and now they're on 52, which is 12 more than what I think is average. I could be horribly, horribly wrong. But apparently this is the third highest number of working hours out of 37 countries that are tracked by the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, also known as OPEC, I think.
Well, if you love your job, great.
Right?
if you don't.
Apparently Mexico clocked the most time on the job with an average of about 43 hours a week.
Yeah,
Costa Rica in there as well.
Take that, Trump. Mexicans aren't just your casual liebots. They're busting their nuts over here.
It's a bit, I would never have said Mexico is hardworking, and I've been there, but that's a story for another day. So remember I wouldn't call him our friend anymore, House of Cards guy, Kevin Spacey?
Yes, that's... lecherous old man, that creepy Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, creepy after we realized what a sex predator he was. So three more allegations against him.
Yeah.
Well, out of London.
It's a house of cards now, isn't it?
Yep, sexually assaulting men. He's been accused of doing that. And now I think there's six allegations against him. So, yeah, Kevin Spacey is just... Why don't these guys... So let's say Kevin Spacey, for instance, who to some extent was a stand-up guy. Obviously, we didn't know what was happening in the background and who he was on set. Why would he not just come out now and save himself the disgrace and the shame and just say, cool... This is what I've, well, not cool, but like, this is what I've done. Because now we must wait for other people to, and then yeah. It's a process and it's more embarrassing. And the stories just get treacherous as we go along. It just becomes such a dog show and just such a mess
for him.
It's
a good question. Like, we often have these stories and we often come to the same conclusions that when you think, when you're a celebrity, when you're a big star like Kevin Spacey, you believe you're kind of untouchable. So you believe it'll just blow over. And you also believe that you have people that will make it blow over. But unfortunately, with the way that the media is and how everything lives on the internet, these things don't blow over like they used to.
They don't, but I feel like he can nip it in the bud by just saying I'm guilty.
But he believes that he'll just get away, go quietly into the night. Like I also believe that you've got to own your shit in life. So if you do something, control it, own up to it, and like you say, just... take control of and ownership of something.
Because now he's just telling us he's really just a predator and a douche on top of being a predator. So he's cancelled for life.
Well, if you're a male model in Cape Town, I'm pretty sure you know all about Kevin Spacey from what I heard.
Really? Yeah. Jeepers. Okay, I didn't know that.
Kevin Spacey has been known. And I will go out on a limb here and tell you this. It'd be known to kind of have these yacht parties in Cape Town where...
There's always a South African connection.
Where male models are sort of put into this boat for a general good time. You know, in season, what do models do? They've got to live the model life.
Uh-huh.
And there's Kevin just having a quiet scotch in the shadows before he pounces. Yep, that's what he's been doing.
And
sorry to break it to you kids. Kevin's a creep.
Believable. I'm so shook right now. Anyways, Jennifer Aniston, are you a fan of hers?
I'd like the show Friends, but...
Are you unfazed? Well, she's dating two guys at the moment.
Wasn't she married?
She was, and then I think they got a divorce. And now she's in a real-life love triangle. She's living my life. Hey, boo. Apparently, she's on the dating scene, and she's got two guys contending for her affection. The one guy is a tech titan... and the other one is a friend of hers, and they're working very hard. Who's telling people that she's got two guys vying for her attention?
Always,
is she telling
it's
people?
Always the source is close. So it's like Janet, her friend from who did her makeup at one stage. They did coffee a few times. Or it could be them just leaking these kind of sources. But I just think that Jennifer Aniston's career is tainted because all her roles, she's this tragic romantic, right? She never gets the guy. There's always some sort of divorce or some sort of poor story with her in the love department. And look how art imitates life, or life imitates art in her case.
I blame Brad. This is all his fault. We were all living happily ever after until Brad decided to do what he did. Look now. I think that's it.
All right. Okay. Just on the messages before we get into some sports. This is from Brad. There we go. He's speaking about him and he messages straight away.
Hi, Brad.
Yeah. Ben, how the cold shower is going these days? Brad, last night's cold shower was the most character building I've had so far. But look, it's as I've been saying from the beginning, it's a mental thing. And once you just get into the mindset of... Like some days you're just in a good mood, some days you're just not in a great mood, but they are still going. I can't actually shower any other way now. I tried the other day.
Really?
I can't do it.
And also, I used to find that if you wait long enough, the water eventually becomes warmer than you would think. Do you know what I mean? Like your body acclimatizes. Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. You as a living organism, you provide a lot of heat. You give off a lot of heat, and there's enough going on here for you to survive. Everything will be okay. But there's this, like, this new gym that I go to, there are these really amazing showers. So you go have like cold shower to rinse after your workout, then you go into the steam room. Where you always end up sitting with someone who wants to talk to you. It is the weirdest thing. I mean, maybe I've got like a talk to me while naked face. I don't know.
But now you've got a towel around you, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But you sit down and it's like, do I want to talk? No, nobody wants to talk in the steam room. Either people feel nervous and they feel they have to talk, or they're just generally chatty people. I don't know. Anyway. And then, just a vigorous cold shower after that and you feel amazing, Brad.
So why are you doing it out of interest? Because I didn't follow your logic or your reason.
So I'm doing this challenge, which you can find on my YouTube channel at Follow the Bounce. It's 100 Days to Better. So every day I try to find one thing to make my life better. And I am struggling for ideas as I'm now moving into day 60 to 70. But I was struggling for ideas from like day 30. It was a lot tougher than I thought. So I'm literally throwing myself into a variety of things. And cold showers was just one of them.
Yeah, because they're healthy for you.
And it stuck. And yeah. So
for your skin.
Everything about it. But
your black's never going to crack.
I hope not. Although it cracked a long time ago, unfortunately. I don't know how you uncrack white, but it's a process I'm looking to get into. But yeah, the other day I had a sort of pulled glute. So I kind of hit too many golf balls with stiff glutes. Yeah, only me. So I had a hot bath and I just didn't feel good.
What?
You don't feel particularly clean. There's something about when you get out of a shower and it's a cold shower, you feel crisp. You feel...
We've lost you.
I just find a way of just living on a higher plane, I guess. Just what I want to do.
This is sick.
Yeah. Okay, so we're done with the top stories, huh?
Yes.
All right. We need to get into some sport because, of course, the World Cup. And I've kind of already told you the results, but let's talk about five animals who are predicting the outcomes of matches. Remember Paul the Octopus?
I was about to say, like the octopi.
Paul the Octopus was unbelievable in 2010. He was the business. He predicted all the right things. And then from there was just copycat animals all over the place. So these are some of the most prominent ones that we've seen so far, or heard of, or who are out doing predictions. There's Achilles the Cat. Now, Achilles the Cat is one of the cats that looks after the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg. And Achilles has been...
Cat in St. Petersburg named Achilles was reputed to have psychic powers, predicted the victor in the first of the World Cup, Reuters reports. Achilles is deaf, which his minders say means he won't be easily distracted while making his prediction, though he can see. When offered to choose between two bowls of food, Achilles chose the one with the Russian flag, dismissing Saudi Arabia's hopes for winning in Moscow Thursday.
Wow, Achilles, you chose Russia over Saudi Arabia. You really must know your stuff.
Russia is considered one of the weakest teams in the tournament, despite home advantage.
Okay, so there's Achilles. Achilles is deaf. Okay, put it this way. Achilles is a cat. He will not be distracted by anything you try to throw at, deaf or not. Achilles wanted to eat. So Achilles is a white cat, and they put a Russian jersey on. Then there's Zabiyaka the goat. I'm not making this up. Zabiyaka is a goat.
From where?
Also from the Russian, so all of Russia's Samara Zoo. And it's the same story. There's matches that go on. There's food. And you can have a win, loss, or a draw. And Zabiyaka the goat has been pretty good. It's a three-year-old goat. And just all these animals clearly are just thinking, great, free food. And these dickheads are looking at me for. Then there's Zella the elephant from Germany.
Several psychic animals in Germany have already predicted the winners. An elephant named Zella has picked a ball out of a basket, which gave German football fans some rather bad news. Zella predicts that the national team will lose in the first rounds. If her other prediction becomes true, World Cup fans can expect an even bigger shock because Senegal will win. Other German football fans have chosen to listen to Nanook, a polar bear cub, who decides the World Cup winner by dipping a paw into a cardboard box full of fish marked with the German flag.
Okay, so Zella and the polar bear, they were shit because Senegal are out, although they did predict Germans out as well. Then there's Mystic Marcus the pig. These names are fantastic. Mystic Marcus. That's from Derbyshire in the UK. So we've got an English representative in the psychic
Marcus
pits.
The mystic pig, our psychic pig, who so far has been 100% correct.
Yes.
He got his predicted wins for both England versus Tunisia and also Panama as well. So what is his prediction for tonight's game? It's time for him and his owner, Juliet Stevens, in Derby to find out. Off you go, Juliet.
So, Juliet, here we
go. Come on, piggy.
Juliet looks like she was born for farming.
Which apples he goes towards.
Okay, so the pig has apples now with flags. So there's the Belgium versus England game. Mm-hmm. We all know the result of this. Let's see how good this pig was.
I think it's going to be called off. I mean, has he foreseen something
Come
we
on.
Don't know about?
Piggy.
Oh, there we go, there we go.
No. I think he was pushed towards Belgium. I'm not sure that's an accurate representation.
No,
so spot on. Spot on, Mystic Marcus. You've backed Belgium right off the bat, and you got that one right. Then there's the Mystic Meerkat. At which stage of the story I'm scrolling, this is just too much. Please, people, can we get real stories here about the World Cup? Having a Mystic pet, I mean, they put a turban on this meerkat.
Oh.
I mean, this... fucking people will do anything for a story. Anything for clickbait. So they went and got a whole bunch of meerkats, and then they just... No, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. I draw the line at Mystic Meerkats. I mean, Marcus the pig already was a bit of a stretch, but now meerkats, come on. Leave these animals alone. So in the World Cup yesterday, there were two matches. Switzerland versus Sweden. And Switzerland, they scored the only goal. Unfortunately, it was in their own net. So Sweden go through 1-0. And it's kind of unexpected because, well, Sweden weren't exactly that flash in the group stages. They managed to hammer Mexico on the last day while Germany completely went full Proteas. So they got into that group, the top of the group. And then Switzerland, well, they've had a kind of shortage of an alternate striker, I guess you can say. There's Shaqiri, but he didn't do so well. And that's it. Switzerland are out. Sweden are through. And that now leads. They were going to then play the winner of the England versus Colombia game. Now, if terribly tempered match this one was. It's just all kinds of yellow cards, and it was just like this ref should have had pepper spray yesterday. He really should have.
I was about to say, I blame the ref.
No, he was, Poppy, you can't do that. It's these prima donna, petulant little prick football players. These are the guys that are the big problem. Just, it's just so sad to see this kind of stuff, and refs can't really have too much of a control in this. Anyway, England 1-0 up. They were looking pretty good. They got a penalty, and of course Harry Kane takes penalties really, really well. And then Colombia, right at the death, they went full Belgium, and they got a goal at the end. And then with that, it went into extra time, which I think is a complete waste of time because teams become too defensive because so much is at stake. And they went into penalties, and England won penalties. Yep, they won the penalties. Their goalkeeper is a hero. And with that, they go through to the quarterfinals. So let's look at the bracket for the World Cup so far as we stand. Now, we all know that Uruguay beat Portugal. That's fantastic. They go through, and they're going to play France because France beat Argentina. There's your top quarterfinal. That will be on Friday. Then we look at the bottom side of that section. Brazil beat Mexico. So they go through because Belgium beat Japan. So they'll play Belgium. Brazil, Belgium, Friday. So Friday...
Yeah, it's on.
If you just... Don't try even think about working past three. Get to a pub, get to a place where you can watch it with people, have a good time. We've got Uruguay versus France, Brazil versus Belgium. That is Friday. I mean, that's good enough to be World Cup semifinals. There you got it, quarterfinals. On Saturday, you'll see Russia take on Croatia, and I really hope that Putin doesn't have Croatia, you know, like a nuke pointed at them or like their families kidnapped or whatever, because there's been speculation that Spain would definitely influence into playing a certain way. I don't want to be that guy, but this Russian team going to this tournament were shite. The form was dodgy. We even heard it. Achilles, the psychic cat, even had his doubts. And if Achilles, the psychic cat, has its doubts, well, then you just know the team wasn't going to promise too much. But here they are in the quarterfinals. They snuck past Spain, and they will be taking on Croatia. Croatia, the dark horse team in this tournament, I believe, and a very, very good chance to get through the semis. Now, England, with their heroics against Colombia, will now take on Sweden. Now, the English fans were seen in Russia chanting towards Swedish fans, your football shit, but your birds are fit. This might come back to haunt them here as Sweden will take on England in the quarterfinals. So that is your two sides of the World Cup pool. So we could have, hypothetically speaking, a England-Croatia semi-final and, hypothetically speaking, a Brazil-France semi-final. All hugely exciting. Of course, if you're talking to English fans today, they are going to beat Brazil in the final. That's how it's going to break down today.
The dreams.
The dreams. It's coming home. Blah, 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 blah. Zimbabwe in rugby. That is not looking so good. Their players had to sleep on the street in Tunisia. So they are trying to qualify for the World Cup in Japan for next year. And coach Peter de Villiers, who used to be the South African coach, he has had to pay for food and drink out of his own pocket. He's had to feed his own players because there's nothing for these guys. Again, another brilliant African cliche of not looking after your people.
Do they have like a full-on? I thought they had a sevens rugby squad. They have like full-on rugby vibes.
Yeah, yeah. Full 15-man team.
I didn't know that.
So they lost to Kenya. And then they've gone to Tunisia to play a qualifying match against Tunisia. And the guys have nowhere to stay. They have no money's been issued to them. There's no allowance. They're not being paid to play. Absolute shambles. And poor Peter de Villiers. I mean, Saru gave him a rough deal. They really did. Going from bot coach to not being able to get a job anywhere. Zimbabwe picked him up. He wants to do great things with this team. And here he is having to buy the guys sandwiches like some sort of father figure. It is depressing to see this kind of stuff. It really is. And sports administrators are generally the lowest of low, which we've spoken about many times in the show. So the Tunisian Rugby Union has apologized for what's happened, and the guys couldn't pay for their visas, so they were also detained at the airport for 6 hours. So Tunisian Rugby authorities are now saying, we take full responsibility, we're deeply sorry about this, we do pride ourselves on being able to host rugby tournaments, blah, 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 blah. It's just appalling. It really is. This should not be happening. World Rugby should step in. How it gets to a point where this is happening in a professional era, even in an amateur era, this is just,
yeah,
it's just terrible. So sad to see this kind of stuff. Other stuff from Wimbledon, that is, of course, the big tennis tournament going on right now. Federer is still going strong. He'll be in his Japanese branded clothing, doing all right. In the women's draw, though, there have been a couple of the upsets straight away. Yeah. Well, Pliskova's gone through. She will now take on Azarenka. But Sloane Stephens, she is out.
No.
Yeah, sorry, Poppy, but she is gone. And she's not the only one, though. Pliskova, she's also gone. Now, Pliskova is a previous champion. Venus Williams has gone through, so no big issues there for her. But yeah, there'll be upsets, there'll be ups and downs, but generally we are going to the second round now, so the courts are beautifully green and lush, and with the heat that's going to be experienced in London, those courts are going to scuff up one hell of a lot, and they will be quite yellow and dry come to the finals time. So that is taking place right now. Another thing that's interesting to look at right now is where the European Tour is and golf in general, because it is the swing towards the Open Championship. It'll be played in Carnoustie this year, generally seen as probably the toughest of all the open venues. The last time it was played there, Paul Laurie won. Paul Laurie is injured, unfortunately, so he'll not be teeing it up there. And the Irish Open will take place this weekend at the Ballyliffin Golf Club. The Ballyliffin Golf Club, of course, Lynx Golf. So if you didn't enjoy Shinnecock Hills, you might not enjoy this, although this will be proper Lynx, not stupid, crazy golf, pin placements, and greens are about to die. This is Lynx Golf, how it's meant to be, and the Brits and the Europeans, they don't cock around with this kind of stuff. So we've got the Irish Open this week, the Scottish Open next week, that's always entertaining, and that'll be at the Gullhane Golf Club, and the Upper Champions, as I said, will be at Carnoustie. $10.25 million prize purse for that one. So you want to do well there. Just a final thing on the World Cup before we wrap up the sport for today. That Citibank has some rather interesting stats that when the World Cup football is on, trading volumes can go down as much as 50% during matches because the traders are so distracted.
Fair enough, I get it.
So in Brazil 2014 and now being experienced as well, that as much as 50% volumes go down with these matches. And I can understand Friday is going to be a shit show for the markets because Brazil versus Belgium. Who doesn't want to stop and watch that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to watch that. I'll be watching that. I'm not a trader, though, so it'll be okay. And that is pretty much it for your sport today. I know there's a big amount of rumors around Ronaldo going to Juventus. I can't see that happening, but
it doesn't even sound right.
Yeah. Look, it's for Ronaldo to go anywhere is huge money. And I know they can probably make... Now, when Neymar went to PSG for a shit ton of money, stupid amount of money. It was actually a deal because once a guy like that goes to your team, your image rights increase, shirt sales. There's a lot of things you can do with these marquee players. So if Ronaldo goes there, where he is in his career right now, it'll be his last move, essentially. I mean, the guy's not exactly young. He's 33. And even though because of the way he's trained throughout his career, he probably will make it to the next World Cup where he'll be absolutely disappointed by his Portuguese team again. But it'll be interesting to see if this move does materialize. Of course, it all stems from Jorge Mendes, who is like, he's like the Dr. Evil of football managers. And this guy controls a lot of world football. So he has been seen to have talks with Juventus. There's no confirmation about it being about Ronaldo, but you never know. And of course, with all the European newspapers picking up on this, it becomes a huge story. And before you know it, you're talking to a mate at a bar and Ronaldo's actually there already. Of course, we'll keep you up to date on all the stories as they are actual stories, because that's what we do here. Credible news source, credible sporting authority. But you expect that from us. Still no word from Sia. So
no,
if you are looking
lying.
For him to,
yeah. Like, not a damn thing. Can we not try to, like, ring his cell? Let's, like, bypass the hotel for now.
Screw it, Poppy. Just do what you want. The next hour, I don't know, let's play an hour of Roy Orbison. Or, I don't know, whatever. I'm going to make myself a cup of coffee. We're going to take some songs now. But before that, I just got a message here.
From who?
What I love about Nathan for you is that even though the ideas are ridiculous, they do have some logical reasoning to it. Take the poo frozen yogurt, for example. Yeah, sorry, just expand this. The controversy will give Storm more attention. Also, Poppy, I'm happy you're on the show. You're doing great.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
That's from someone who doesn't have a name, but maybe they don't want a name. Maybe they like to be anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous.
All right, Poppy, there we go. So let's play out, see what the second half of that poo story was from Nathan for you.
Please, I need to know. Because I need closure.
Poppy was already poo-pooing the idea.
I was done. I was just like, way. I have so many questions, though.
All right. And then after that, we'll get into a few songs and then really get into what this Wednesday is about. That's me completely padding because I have no idea.
I found a company online that said they could custom make any flavor.
We're not allowed to say no. We'll always try to formulate anything for a customer.
And after a week of waiting, the flavor was ready. So I went to the Gold Coast Lab in Commerce, California to pick it up.
This is what you requested. We call it artificial feces flavor emulsion.
Is there a real...
There's no actual...
It's completely edible.
It you could eat this.
Right.
But if you wanted to
dilute it into yogurt?
You could make yogurt.
I didn't want to be the first to try it, but I needed to know if the taste was accurate. So I conducted a taste test with some strangers. So I'd like everyone to try the frozen yogurt in front of you.
Yuck.
What does it taste like?
It's not good.
Peppermint.
Peppermint?
Kind of like licorice, I think.
Oh, there's an idea. Yeah. Closer.
Mm-hmm. It's got some other familiar flavors in there, but I can't.
What does this taste like to you?
Poo. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, it does, actually, what I would think of.
What were you basing that on?
Well, clearly the look helps.
Right.
The color.
Because I was just, it was amazing how quick you got it. So I was like, oh, maybe she's tried it, or because it's
not
based on real poo.
Never tried it.
I mean, it's okay. You can say if you
I have it.
It's not. I mean,
no,
genuinely, it would help to know if you actually have, and
no,
it does.
No, I have not.
Even by accident or
not
something.
Not by accident.
It's okay.
No,
it's totally fine.
I have never tried.
People do weird things all the time.
I promise you.
I was happy with the results. And with the flavor in good shape, it was time to revisit Nick at Yogurt Haven.
I'm just going to throw this.
Yeah. So what do you want to do?
We can give it a shot, but, I mean, it's not something I would have out here for more than a day.
We settled on 2.5 months to start. And with Nick's permission, we installed the new flavor. Now, I wanted to get an article in the paper, and that meant hiring a publicist. And I got a meeting with one of LA's best, Tyler Burnett.
I think if you really are considering implementing a shit-flavored ice cream, you should reconsider the entire campaign.
So you disagree?
Yeah, I think it's a poor idea.
If you heard that a frozen yogurt shop in your neighborhood had a poo flavor, you're saying you wouldn't go to check it out?
No. There are better ways to get attention. I can come up with five off the top of my head.
Okay, I'd like to hear one.
Frozen yogurt eating contest. Invite kids from all around the block to come and have a frozen yogurt eating contest.
Okay, I would not go to that. Next one.
You know what you could do? You could fill a bucket full of shit frozen yogurt and put it on your head and then stand outside of the store with a sign that says, I don't know how to market a business, and see if people come. People could come with little spoons and they could...
When I first came today, I had to go to the bathroom and you lent me your keys.
I did.
And I saw that you drive a Porsche.
I do.
Don't they say people that drive nice cars maybe have small penises?
Who says that?
I think that's a known fact.
Well, I can assure you that's not a known fact.
How can you assure me?
Have you seen a lot of penises?
Some.
Some? Since you're a penis expert, I'm assuming?
I'm not a penis expert. What are you talking about?
You just said that you're a penis expert.
No, I said I've seen a few penises.
I think I haven't seen enough penises like you have.
I don't understand seeing the amount of penises, how that would have to do having a small penis.
Well, I just...
Unfortunately, Tyler didn't want to take me on as a client, so I opted for a more grassroots approach to get the word out.
Yeah, Mom?
Shoot.
Sorry. Oh, my God. Sorry, please. Oh.
Oh, sure.
No, it's okay.
Sure.
No, sorry, my hands are full.
Yeah, you had a problem.
I was just telling my mom there's this frozen yogurt shop that has this crazy flavor.
Uh-huh.
It's like a poo flavor yogurt. I was just telling her, so I was dropping all my stuff. You should check it out. See ya.
My plan was working, and people were flocking to the store to check out the new flavor.
What flavors did you get?
I got the vanilla, the Euro tart, and the poo flavor.
Oh, the poo. That was my least favorite.
It was a success, and like I predicted, the store was full. And in the world of business, that's all that matters. But just when I thought my job was done, the next day, I paid Nick a visit with an even better idea.
I went for dinner last night at a restaurant, and while I was eating, I saw some, I think, like rat poop on the ground. And I was so disgusted, I couldn't finish my meal. So I was thinking, I'm not sure if it's a good idea to have something poo-related in a place that serves food.
That's what I was trying to say from the very beginning.
Right. Anyways, I just wanted to give you that advice, so
you're
welcome.
Thank you. I mean...
But it's kind of smart, though. I know it's poo flavor. You probably don't ever want to have it, but it is edible. You're not going to get ill. But it's all about creating controversy, and that's what got them into the store.
Yeah, no, look, hey. Yeah.
This is CliffCentral.com.